Stars burst out of a golden fireball. The stars disperse, leaving a white logo. BBC Films. Three white cogs appear on a blue background. The Works. Two white lemon-shaped outlines overlap. EM Media. A red five-pointed star sits in the circle. Revolution is written across the star in white. A Revolution Films production. Wonky white letters with lines either side appear on a black background. BBC Films presents, in association with EM Media and Revolution Films, a Revolution Films production. In association with Baby Cow Productions, produced with Scion Films, a Michael Winterbottom film. Steve Coogan, in period costume, walks up the drive in front of an Elizabethan country house. Cast in order of appearance. Steve Coogan, Rob Brydon, Keely Hawes, Shirley Henderson, Dylan Moran, David Williams, Jeremy Northam, Benedict Wong, Naomi Harris, Kelly MacDonald, Elizabeth Berrington, Mark Williams, Kieran O'Brien, Roger Allam, James Fleet, Ian Hart, Ronnie Ancona, Greg Wise, Stephen Fry, and Gillian Anderson.
Groucho Marx once said that the trouble with writing a book about yourself is you can't fool around. Why not? People fool around with themselves all the time.
He stiffly walks on, heavy-browed and eyes narrowed.
I'm Tristram Shandy, the main character in this story, the leading role.
In the house is a young woman who's heavily pregnant, Elizabeth.
Susanna? Susanna?
Susanna's a slight young woman with dark brown hair.
There are those who say this is a cock and bull story. That's the bull, my father's bull, and I'll show you the cock in a minute.
Cows graze. Mature trees are dotted around the land. Elizabeth stands stooped in the drawing room.
Susanna! Susanna!
Susanna runs in and looks at Elizabeth, wide-eyed in wonder.
Is it started?
Yes, yes, I think it is.
Oh, Mum! Oh, shall I fetch a midwife?
Yes.
Two men are digging around in some peaty soil, creating a scale model of a battlefield. Tristram walks up.
These two gentlemen are my Uncle Toby and Corporal Trim. They're recreating the Battle of Namur, where they both fought.
In battle, Uncle Toby, wearing a red uniform and tricorn hat, runs up to Corporal Trim.
Colonel Ingleby's orders, sir! The flag is to advance to the ditch behind the 50-pounder!
What? There's no such thing as a ditch out there, man.
The ditch behind the 50-pounder, sir.
That is a ravelin, Trim. A ravelin, a farmer digs a ditch. Soldier digs a ditch.
Sag it down!
Uncle Toby gets it in the nuts, back in the formal garden.
When I said this was a cock and bull story, it was my cock I was talking about, not Uncle Toby's. After all, am I not the hero of my own life?
As a boy...
Master Tristan, where is it? What are you done with it?
Hidden
under the bed.
Oh, where is
You'll
it?
You'll have to get out of the
window.
Lift your nightshirt up.
Susanna heaves up the sash window.
Poke your little picture out the window. Do you think the time might come when you don't make much of a fuss? Pop that in your water.
The window drops shut on the end of his cock.
That is a child actor pretending to be me. I'll be able to play myself later. I think I could probably get away with being 18, 19. Until then, I'll be played by a series of child actors. This was the best of a bad bunch. He's unable to convey the pain or shock of such an event.
Little Tristram walks up to his older self, who's leaning in the doorway.
I think I can. Susanna said I was doing it exactly how you did it.
It may be the same noise, but it doesn't have the emotion.
Go on, then. Show me how to do it.
Tristram grabs his crotch and reels around, grimacing.
I was told it was a comedy, not a pantomime.
Elizabeth runs in.
Oh, darling. Oh, my God. There, what happened?
This is my beautiful, lovely mother, Elizabeth.
Young Trim comes in.
How did this happen?
It was my fault. I removed the weights from the sash window.
What?
It was Sir Toby's request to make mortars for the Siege of Namur. I wish now with all my heart I had cut off something else.
Distraught, Elizabeth hugs little Tristram tightly.
Poor little Tristram.
She rocks him back and forth. Grown up, Tristram's back in the garden.
So, both my uncle and myself were victims of the Battle of Namur, even though it took place years before my birth. I was not unmanned, by the way. I was circumcised, like a lot of men. Manly men. I can't speak for my uncle in that area, although even as a boy I was curious.
Sir, where were you injured during the battle?
The stretch of wall is the curtain.
This one looks quite like me.
The front of the curtain is the breast.
It's
none of the men.
There's a ravelin below this fosse. I shall dig it now, sir.
Yeah, there was indeed, Corporal. Yes, I tumbled into it just before, well, in the course of the afternoon.
Where exactly were you injured?
I will show you the exact spot. Soldier, quick march.
Toby stands on his battlefield.
I received my injury at 9 o'clock, just here.
In the
ditch.
I am getting ahead of myself. I am not yet born.
Elizabeth, pregnant. Susanna runs to the entrance hall.
Mrs. Shanley's took that, sir, with the pound, sir. They're coming thick and fast. I'm away to fetch midwife.
Susanna runs out, red cape flowing behind her.
She's took bad.
Yes, sir.
With the pangs.
When I was born, my father was 4 years older than I am now. So, given the family resemblance, I felt I should portray him as well as myself.
Walter. He dons a wig.
Brother Walter! Brother, Elizabeth isn't well, brother. She is suffering from pangs.
Pangs?
I believe she was referring to the birth pangs, sir. She's
thick
gone to
ones?
Fetch the midwife.
And fast
the midwife? No. Obadiah! Obadiah! I want you to ride like the devil to Dr. Slops and tell him my wife has fallen into labour and I desire him to come immediately. I will not have the midwife deliver my son.
Obadiah, a massive brute of a man, runs to the stable.
Come on!
Obadiah rides off on a white horse. Tristram walks through the house. Elizabeth and Walter sit in the drawing room with a solicitor.
You may find it surprising that the method of my birth had yet to be decided. The cause was not too little planning, but too much.
I, Walter Shandy, undertake to arrange for any confinement of Elizabeth Shandy in London, and further undertake to pay all expenses arising from that confinement. What is the smaller writing here?
That's just small print. You always get that. This is the beginning of all my woes.
I should have to stay in Yorkshire.
Yes. Only if you once already made the journey to London by mistake.
Four horses draw a carriage.
In the September before my birth, my mother, being pregnant, or so she thought, insisted my father take her to London.
You all right, my love?
I'm fairly comfortable.
Not long now. Just another 2 days.
A sign says London 219. Elizabeth and Walter sit facing a doctor.
Tell me, doctor, in your opinion, is it a boy or a girl?
I'm afraid, madam, it is neither. It is a phantom only.
How can that be?
Well, this happens more than you can know.
The carriage heads back up north. Walter glowers at a distant-looking Elizabeth.
£10. £10 to tell us that it's wind that is inflating you.
Elizabeth looks down sadly.
Any other time of the year would have been fine, but all my plums will be spoilt.
The driver sits up front, whip in hand, his hard face shadowed by a big black hat.
It's not the expense that bothers me, but the disappointment of losing a child.
Walter, I too have lost a child.
She holds a handkerchief to her nose. Walter looks down nervously.
No matter. Don't fret. Please.
They hold hands.
Unfortunately, due to the length and discomfort of the journey, by the time they'd arrived back at Shandy Hall, my father had decided to implement the small print. The next birth should be at home. It is infuriating that Elizabeth has this humour to entrust the life of our child to an ignorant old woman, when the admirable Dr. Slop, with all his modern instruments, is so readily at hand.
That
Perhaps she does not care to let a man that close to her,
Toby gestures.
Oh, what, say it, Mum.
Toby gets up, does a little squat, and sits again.
By heavens, what's that? Do you think she's to lay an egg? Do you know nothing of women at all?
Nothing at all.
It's no matter. The point is Slop does. He knows them inside out. And there's a fine brass instrument. Pump it out, you were quick.
Fortune favoured us.
Dr. Slop.
I only came to borrow some pipe tobacco.
Dr. Slop, a scruffy chap with an ill-fitting wig, rides a horse up the driveway to Shandy Hall. The screen splits to show Obadiah galloping back to the hall. The horses collide. Slop falls off.
Dr. Slop! Where the devil are you going at such a rate?
To fetch you, sir.
I was telling my brother about your fine brass instruments. The one with the hinge I like the look of. It was new invented. It's called,
Forceps.
Aye, the forceps, sir. I like the look of those.
The forceps. They're in a bag hanging off my bed head. I couldn't.
No, it must be done properly. Obadiah! Obadiah!
Obadiah comes running, then gallops off.
I'll give thee a crown if thou dost it!
Thank you, sir!
And I another!
Susanna's running across a field with a midwife in tow.
Will you take a pipe, Doctor?
I will.
I say we had a good deal of piping at Flanders, Doctor.
Elizabeth kneels on her bed.
Come on.
Susanna arrives with the midwife.
I'm into pipe to smoke.
Well, if it's smoke you're after, then Flanders was the place. At the Battle of Namur, when the cannons were set off.
Loosed.
Loosed is the proper word, Trim, yes.
Susanna and the midwife go into Elizabeth's room.
Dr. Slop, allow me to show you a map of such detail and artistry as to make a man's eyes water. Here, the city of Namur. Come, Doctor, come. The city of Namur, as it appeared to the besieging forces that morning in 1695. The English and the Scots, under the command of General Ramsay, were positioned in the trenches to the right. Now, the dilemma for the good general was which way forward. There were many directions to choose from. It is my humble opinion that he chose the best direction.
The battle takes place on the map. Walter picks up his clay pipe.
Oh, brother, what happened that day to you? Is everything all right? You know, down there.
He points to Toby's groin. In battle, Toby's stretchered to a doctor.
I'm not there, sir.
Where does it hurt? Where were you hit, sir? This man's lost his mind.
I think the injury may be in a delicate place, sir, which my master is too modest to mention.
Damn these. Can a man be too delicate to name his own privates, yet strong enough to fight a war? I shall have you sent home, sir. Come on.
In the study, Toby paces as he whistles.
Unless this Obadiah makes haste, the thing would befall us without forces.
Here he is.
Oh, well done.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Good man.
Dr. Slop unwraps the bundle of instruments Obadiah's brought.
A knife. Have you a knife?
I've a knife.
Use your teeth, Dr. Slop. Your teeth.
He bares his rotten teeth.
Oh, well.
The midwife helps Elizabeth give birth.
Ah, my finger!
Now this, Dr. Slop, is a book in which there is
don't
a fine engraving.
Don't want to see your armies at Flanders or anywhere, and if I get my hands on the blockhead who tied these blasted knots, I'll kick him all the way to bloody Flanders.
I have a book, colourful words for all occasions.
Let me... I've got you, man.
Ah, now, on cutting the thumb or finger with a penknife. There we go, the very word.
No, I don't want...
Elizabeth kicks the midwife over.
By the authority of God Almighty, the Father, Son and Holy Ghost, and of all holy canons and of the undefiled Virgin Mary, Mother of our Saviour...
May he be damned.
Susanna leaves Elizabeth.
Unless he repent him of tying such knots, may he be cursed in his eye, in his mouth, in his heart, in his stomach. May he be
Doctor,
cursed.
The midwife is here.
The midwife is here.
and she's bruised the upper part of her thigh. Here.
I'll come and look at it.
You'd be better looking at my images.
Massive forceps.
You're not fixing to use them on the little child.
Yes, this is the very latest.
These. I can extrude the baby's head before the mother has a chance to mash its head to dough. I can show you, Captain Shanty. Make a baby's head of your hands. Well, you're to imagine these sleeves are Mrs. Shandy's funnel and...
Funnel?
Meat curtains.
Meat curtains?
Front fundament.
Brother?
My brother knows nothing of women.
I insert the forceps thus, gently enclosing the baby's head, see? And then I gently tug it!
Ooh! He cuts the back of Toby's hand.
Oh, brother! Oh, by my honour, Dr. Slop, you've taken the skin clean off the back of my hand, man, with your forceps. You've crushed my knuckles to a jelly in the bargain.
Lucky it's not the baby's head.
A baby's head is naturally as soft as the pap of a melon.
It's but a scratch.
Chim, fetch a melon.
Yes,
run!
Sir.
Nothing like a baby's head.
Nothing like one.
Entirely different.
Trim gets a melon.
Melon.
Thank you, Trim.
Baby's head.
It's a much more accurate representation.
Funnel?
Funnel?
All ready, and then we merely...
Slop crushes the melon.
Had my father possessed a more scientific mind, the tragedy of my nose could have been avoided, but he was of a more philosophical bent, used to arguing from first principles. So eventually when I was born, I was delivered with the very forceps that had crushed the pap of the melon.
Elizabeth lies on her bed with her legs open as Dr. Slop teases the baby's head out with the forceps. As it emerges, he looks around worriedly. Susanna rushes to the study.
Baby's born. You have a son.
Oh, congratulations, Brother Walter.
I need something stiff, but flexible for a split.
Quill, perhaps?
Oh, that'll do.
What has happened to my son?
Doctor needs to make a bridge.
I haven't finished. Susanna!
She runs off with the quill.
Susanna!
Doctor.
Susanna.
Slop takes the quill.
What has happened to my son?
There was a small mishap. Mishap with the machinery.
Machinery?
Just the forceps.
He has merely broken his nose.
His tiny nose is badly bruised.
It had ever been my father's wish to have a son with a big nose. All the great men of antiquity had big noses. A nose like Caesar, Dante, Pythagoras, Newton, Alexander the Great. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not yet born.
I'll attend the lady.
No!
Susanna tries to stop Slop going upstairs with the forceps.
Get off! Confine you! Don't you touch Slop!
No!
Get off! Get back!
My son is not yet born, and already I am exhausted.
Shall we go and see the fortifications?
Mrs. Sandy?
Susanna hugs Elizabeth. Walter and Toby walk to the model battlefield. Slop points with his forceps.
Get on the bed. The bed, woman, the bed.
In the garden.
There's nothing more important than the choice of name when deciding the future of a child.
Four fingers. She's four fingers. Good. Dilated.
The highest is Trismegistus, as in Hermes Trismegistus. The greatest philosopher, the greatest lawgiver, the greatest priest. And he was an engineer.
Then you should call him that, then. The child should be called Tristram.
Tristram? No.
Tristram.
No, Tristram's the worst. Tristram's the dog's breath worst.
Have you... I know. How did I come to be named Tristram, given my father's views?
Well, even though my birth is fast approaching, there's still time to catch the tragedy of my naming.
Walter sleeps in a chair.
Sir, it's the baby. It's the baby, sir. He is as black as my... black as my shoe, sir. There, he's as black as my shoe. We might lose the baby, sir. The parson is here, and his horse. The baby must be baptised.
Yes, baptised. Hand me my breeches.
No, there's no time to get dressed, sir. My mistress wanted to know if it should be named after Captain Toby, as he's the godfather.
If my father had been sure I was going to die, he would have complimented Toby by naming me so, thereby saving the name of Trismegistus for one who might survive. But he couldn't be sure.
The name, sir, the name.
Trismegistus.
Trismegistus.
You're a leaky vessel. Susanna, can you carry it the length of the corridor without spilling?
Trismegistus. Trismegistus. Tristan.
Elizabeth lies in bed in agony. The midwife holds the dark-skinned baby and the long-haired parson is sitting in a chair as Susanna bustles in.
Tristram? No, it's not that, no.
There is no Christian name beginning Tris, but Tristram.
No, it's not Tristram. It has some gistus in it.
Tristram gistus. There is no gistus in it, dear. No, it is my name, and a very fine name it is too. I baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Tristram Shandy. All is well. Little Tristram is made right with God.
He hands him to Susanna and opens his Bible. Elizabeth's curled up on her side.
Seeing now, dearly beloved brethren, that this child is regenerate and grafted into the body of Christ Church, let us give thanks unto Almighty God for these benefits, and with one accord make our prayers unto you. This child...
Look, Mum. He is well.
His skin lightens.
Mum, he's not black anymore.
She takes him to Elizabeth.
Mum... Look, it's a miracle.
Walter rushes in.
You have not forgot the name.
No, and the baby as well.
Apart from a bandage over his nose.
My beautiful, beautiful Tristram Shandy.
Tristram.
As Elizabeth kisses Tristram, Walter stares at the floor.
My son has been cursed from the moment of his conception. Now, I forgot to mention this. Well, it's not that I forgot, it's more that I thought I should save it till we knew each other better. My father had two domestic obligations, and being a systematic man, he liked to dispense them both at once. The first was to wind the clock. The second was more enjoyable.
He has sex with Elizabeth.
Walter!
He goes round the house adjusting the clocks.
You may be familiar with Locke's theory of the association of ideas. It's been updated since by Pavlov and his dog.
Black and white film.
If the dog hears the metronome when he's being fed, the dog starts to associate the metronome and food. So, in the end, if he hears the metronome even when there's no food, the dog starts to salivate.
Elizabeth undresses.
A similar association of ideas took root in my mother's head between one domestic obligation and the other. As soon as she heard my father winding the clock, she began to salivate, as it were. Of course, it works the other way around, too. After a while, if you give the dog the food without the metronome, the dog produces no saliva. So, on the occasion my father came home and was feeling so keen to dispense one obligation, he skipped the other, he surprised my mother.
Walter.
Elizabeth.
She lies in bed, distracted as Walter mounts her.
He was therefore unable to produce any saliva.
He humps her mechanically.
My dear, have you not forgot to wind up the clock?
Walter stiffens.
So it was. The circumstances of my conception were as confused as those of my birth.
Walter lies next to Elizabeth.
Good night.
The midwife holds on to Elizabeth.
Yowling won't help.
How is she?
It may be some hours yet.
I can see the head.
Let me see. Mom. Let me through.
Oh, fix this. No.
I can't see with the sheep. That's it. Lay her down flat! No, flat! I can't walk like this! Flat!
Mark, the director, and the film crew are close by.
And... Thank you. Thank you very much.
OK, that's it. We'll pick up tomorrow morning.
Are we good there?
Thank
you. With the prosthetic head. OK, move the set, please.
Rush's screening at 8 for anyone involved in the battle scene.
I can't see the baby's head.
OK. OK, right.
Mark, we're not doing the... You don't want the breath today?
No, tomorrow morning.
It's great.
This scene's supposed to be about Walter's love for his son. I don't feel very involved. I feel quite peripheral. I'm over here.
I don't think Mark's read the book since he was 9.
I'm not trying to be greedy.
Don't worry, you're in it, definitely.
Right. I'm not saying that. I've got to see Debbie about shoes.
Yeah. All right, then, well, I'll get rid of these and I'll come and take you to costume.
Right, yeah? OK, yeah. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Should we take this nose off now or should we do it in the makeup truck?
Yeah, because I don't want my son to won't recognise me with this.
That's true.
Hey!
Hello!
Oh,
Steve hugs his partner Jenny, who's holding their baby.
Apple crumble and custard. They made me eat it.
Steve, I'll take you to costume when you're ready.
Jenny, this is Jenny.
Hello.
This is Jenny also, not Jenny 2, Jenny also. Me and Jenny were flirting before, but now that you're here, we're just going to stop that for a while.
Great.
Okay.
Good.
Good.
She's so beautiful.
Oh.
What's she called?
Thank you. He's a boy. He's called Stephen.
Oh, sorry. What's Stephen like his dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark comes in.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, hello.
You're right.
I'm good. How are you?
Sitting there.
Gonna be in the movie. Don't you upset him again?
Sorry, Steve, but Leo needs you for a couple of minutes to try out the womb. Is that okay?
Now?
Yeah. Jenny will take you over.
So I've got to go and do this, baby.
Steve walks through the garden with Jenny, his PA.
Your wife's very pretty.
Yeah, yes, it's not my wife, but it's a girlfriend. Yeah, she's just off for a couple of days.
Hiya, Steve. Thanks for doing this.
In a shed is a giant model of a womb.
Wow.
There's the womb. When you're talking to camera, it's Tristram.
Steve inspects it.
Yeah, no, I know what it is. It's just a while since I've seen one.
Did Mark talk to you about being upside down?
No, he didn't.
Ah, that's what we need to try out.
Real wombs don't have a window like that, though, do they?
Womb with a view.
Womb with a view. It's just very good, that. Tell my mother I'm sorry for everything.
You'll be fine. Yeah.
Steve climbs a ladder.
You can let the walls out now.
Steve dangles from a harness.
Hey, ooh. Oh, no, that's wrong. OK, I'll try the other way.
Do that?
Yeah.
OK, lower him down.
He's lowered head first.
That's it.
He hangs upside down from cables within the spongy, flesh-coloured interior.
I'm just getting caught a bit there.
Oh, that's it. Open the walls out.
Right.
That looks great.
It looks good.
Looks great. You've put on weight.
Hey?
You've put on weight.
I've not put on weight. If I'm a fetus, I've got to be able to kick and stretch. That's what feti do.
Not when they're full term. Well, you see, the baby was just about to be born, so he'd fill the whole space. He'd be upside down, and his head would be wedged in the mother's pelvis.
Jimmy's up there. Can't Mark film it the other way around, the right way up, and then just flip the image?
Well, maybe, but I'd have to word with Mark about that. I mean, I think he wanted the realism.
He wants realism?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a grown man talking to the camera in a fucking womb.
Okay,
right, get me out.
Get him
please.
Out.
Just get me out. He's a dick.
It's fine, Steve.
Right, come get me out.
Get him out.
Please. Just do squats. No, you're jamming me. Whoa, easy.
He's hoisted out of the womb, which has a big window on the front. He flips back up the right way. Steve's pulled onto a platform.
Yeah, yeah. I got a whole place.
That was great, Steve. Really, really good.
Well, good.
That's going to work perfectly. Don't you know, I think the clothes make it tighter. It'll be all right on the day.
I'm not doing it naked.
Well, that's how babies are.
Steve looks around, bemused.
But babies don't have to be funny.
I think you look funny naked.
In the costume department...
Every man thinks less of himself for not having been a soldier. Dr. Johnson.
Yeah, well, you are one now.
You would definitely have worn a hat. You would have worn a hat.
Yeah. Well, I've got a hat.
No question about it.
Oh, I hate the hat.
Oh, yes, well, you're not Uncle Toby, are you? You're,
Rob Brydon.
That's it. I was trying to tell the wife about it, but I couldn't remember your name.
He twists Rob's hat.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
This is... I'm all in aid of reshoots for the big scene.
I'm not in the battle scene. So.
No.
I think...
Not bad. That's a worry.
Yeah, it's historically accurate, so we have to wear it.
I don't like it either.
Jenny?
Mm-hmm?
Can I get a coffee, please, love?
Yeah, sure. Rob, do you want one?
Oh, yes, please. Can I have a macchiato?
OK, I'll try.
Thank you very much.
So, Jenny, can I have, one of those as well?
Wardrobe assistant Debbie.
Shoes.
Shoes.
You're worried because yours are different from Toby's.
It's not that. It's in this Walter, in all the scenes with Toby, is supposed to dominate.
Using a flintlock, this would have been covered in powder.
Because of the heels, it comes across that because I'm shorter, I'm overcompensating. Like I've got some Napoleon complex. Yeah.
So you don't like the shoes?
I should dominate totally in those scenes. It should be like I'm Gandalf and he's Frodo.
You shall not have the ring.
Very good. Very good, Rob.
I do Steve as well.
Can we just sort the shoes out first?
Can we just sort the shoes out first? I've got a big house in the Hollywood Hills. Look at my pool.
That's Alan Partridge. I don't speak like that.
I don't talk that way. Yes, I do.
Stop it.
So, Rob's too tall. Or you're too small.
No, Rob's shoes are too high. Bob's short. That's a good thing. That's why he's hired.
The problem's continuity, you see, because we've already shot quite a bit with these shoes.
Okay. Should stand straight. These are just too floppy.
This is not an ego thing. It really is. It's the shoe is the key to the character.
Character's soul.
It's coffee, but it's not macchiato.
Well, I don't understand why I'm here then.
Right, okay.
Do they want you to do it in costume? Is that all right?
This is wrong.
Yeah.
That's on the wrong shoulder. You would fire from that shoulder.
Just try that. Yeah. Sorry. Let's just try and get the hats on.
Ginger-haired Inglesby.
Aha!
I'm not a happy bunny.
Hey, Jane, thanks. I'll take over.
Nice to see you.
Thanks, Johnny. Johnny thought it would look good if, have some crew in the background. Is that OK?
Yeah, yeah.
Baby, how are you doing, boy?
Good to see you.
All right.
Great to see you.
Can we start with knowing me, Tony Wilson, knowing you, Steve Coogan? Now, how is that?
Let's rise above that, shall we?
OK, you're right.
It's just something that the TV series did a long time ago, and I'm trying to, change the record.
All right. OK, sorry. My fault. I did Rob yesterday, and... he does a fantastic impersonation of you.
They said, well, you've got to make it like Steve. Make it like Steve Coogan. Well, Steve, no matter what he's doing, is basically, oh, you're so dirty. I mean, that's basically whether he's Walter, whether he's Tristram, whether he's Steve or he's Alan Partridge. It all boils down to that. Steve's hero is Roger Moore. And Roger Moore's style of acting is not a million miles away from Steve's.
Yeah, I see, but if you do an impression, I see it's a sincere form of flattery. He pretends he's taking the piss, but he loves me, really. I think he's a bit obsessed with me. Steve Coogan, why Tristram Shandy? This is the book that many people say is unfilmable.
I think that's the attraction. Tristram Shandy was a postmodern classic written before there was any modernism to be post about. So it's way ahead of its time, and in fact, for those who haven't heard of it, it was actually listed as number 8 on the Observer's top 100 books of all time.
That was a chronological list.
Right. Well,
Okay, right.
If you want to see the EPK interview, it'll be part of the DVD package, along with extended versions of many of the scenes, which should act as footnotes to the main film.
It is Tristram's story. It's called The Life and Opinions of Tristram Shandy. So I guess it would be Tristram's story, whatever else you might hear. Steve Coogan, Tristram Shandy, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Good. You happy, Justin?
Great.
I was so pleased when I heard you were doing this. It's my favourite novel.
Really?
Yeah, I just love it. It's fantastic. Who's playing Widow Wadman?
It's my favourite character, Widow Wadman, in the book. Right, she's not in the film.
No?
No.
It's a great love story.
I know, in the book it's a great love story, but there's so much in the book. You know, so rich, they've got a, it's like there's loads of stuff in it.
Mm. Have you got time for a drink?
I can't, well, your missus is here, so...
Don't you worry.
Let's catch up in Manchester.
OK.
All right, mate, great seeing you.
Lovely to see you again. OK.
All right, boy.
Keep it up.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Ed?
Later with Jenny the PA, Steve meets Mark in the garden.
Oh, Mark, I need to talk to you about something.
Shoes, yeah?
Yeah. So there's a bit of a problem.
Talk to Debbie about them.
OK.
We'll have a look at Russia's as well.
Right. It's a status...
After the battle stuff.
OK, it's a status thing.
No, I understand. Yeah. Well, 8 o'clock, is that all right?
Yeah.
Steve, can I grab a lift with you? The minibus has gone, left me stranded.
Steve glances at Jenny.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Just hop in the back.
All right. Gosh, it's quite chilly, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Sorry, Steve. Blocking your way.
As Jenny drives, Steve's on his mobile phone. Rob's in the back.
Oh, well, no, screen test for Alexander Payne, yeah.
Steve, so would I.
So would Rob Bryan. Okay, all right, now I'll see you back at the hotel. Okay, bye. Sorry, that was my agent.
My agent as well.
She just wants to talk to me about some scripts from America.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Fuck you, asshole!
Steve frowns.
Fuck you, you son of a bitch, asshole! Fuck you! I'm taking you down.
Steve and Jenny smile.
I hate battle scenes. I think they're boring. Just don't understand why they're bothering to reshoot this one. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I couldn't agree more.
I mean, there is, like, so much in that novel. Why would you choose that? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, why not choose Widow... What's the name?
No, because that's a love story, isn't it? You know, love stories are just as boring as battle scenes. What is so original and exciting about the novel is the Tristopedia.
Where Tristram...
No.
Right, what?
No, it's where Walter spends the entire pregnancy, like, compiling this book of knowledge, like an encyclopedia, yeah? Just for his son.
Walter sits writing.
The Jewish custom of circumcision came to the Jews by way of Egypt, or possibly from the Syrians, or the Phoenicians, or the Cappadocians, which suggests...
To Tristram.
..that Solon and Pythagoras... and Ptolemy were all circumcised. If they're submitted to it, why not you?
On the rainy road.
I think that's brilliant.
No, I love the dedication that Walter shows to his son. Really identify with that.
And then, you know, like, Tristram grows up, and he's nothing like his father wanted him to be. It just all goes wrong. Like we all go wrong. Because ultimately, the way we turn out is just all a matter of chance, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, for instance, my mum, she, like, spent her entire life dedicating herself to me. She washed, she cooked, she cleaned, she ironed, she worked in the evenings. She, like, she made her life a fucking misery.
Yeah, right.
You ask yourself, like, what was that all about?
Sorry.
I mean, but you do ask yourself, like, what is that all about, you know?
Steve's bemused.
That should be in the film.
Steve blows out a long, weary breath.
You know, originally I was going to play Tristram and Walter.
Yeah, that's when it was going to be a sitcom.
Looking bored, Steve flexes his fingers. In the dark, they drive up to the hotel. The grounds are swarming with extras wearing military uniforms. Some carry flaming torches.
God, look at them. This is going to be massive.
There's loads of them. They've all brought their own tents.
I didn't know they had caravans in the 18th century.
Jenny grins. The Grand Hotel has turrets and castellated walls. As they walk through the stone courtyard, an unshaven guy dressed in black approaches Steve.
Steve! How you doing, man?
See you in the bar.
Hello. Knowing me, Gary Wilton, knowing you, Steve Coogan. Yeah.
It's 8 years ago I did that series.
I know, but everyone loved it, man. It's...
I know they did.
We met on the set of Around the World and in Cannes for 24-hour party.
Yeah? Oh, right.
What a night that was, eh?
Yeah, well, I can't remember. It must be good.
Yeah, indeed. Listen, I spoke to an agent. Your agent, yeah? I'm doing a profile on you for Sunday.
Well, he's here, so I'll talk to him.
Yeah, great, good guy.
In reception...
Ooh, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you?
Nice to see you.
Oh. Nice to see you.
You look fantastic. Really good.
Grateful.
No, you don't. You look like a mum who's having to do everything because her husband is right filming.
She's got a nanny.
But she has a nanny, so that's a good
thing. Yeah. Oh, then see you later.
Right.
I'm
going to
try again.
All right. Okay. Yeah, all right. I've got to see Adrian in 5 minutes, and I'll come back. Like, I'll see you later.
See you later.
Hello.
Hello.
See you.
Thank you.
You just missed Jenny.
No, I just
saw Jenny.
Rob, do you mind if I just have 5 minutes talking with Adrian?
Oh, do you want me to go? Sorry.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, right.
I'll go in.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic. Nice to see you.
See you later.
Catch you later. See you later.
Do you want a drink?
Yeah, I'll like. Can I have a vodka tonic, please?
Cool, yes. That jumper. Oh, catering must be good.
It's just, I call it, it has all these running snacks, so.
All snacks and no running by the look of it.
I'm sorry about Gary being here.
Yeah, I just saw him outside. He's a very unpleasant man.
Yeah. Do you remember anyone called Heather?
Gobbler.
Gobbler.
She's a lap dancer, and by the sound of what she says you got up to in your hotel bedroom on the 20th of January, you ought to be able to remember her.
Sitting forward, Steve nervously knits his fingers together.
Oh, fuck. Did you have sex with her?
No.
Drugs?
No.
You didn't have sex with her?
No.
No, you didn't?
No. I did.
Anything weird?
Steve's eyes widen.
No.
Good. She's trying to sell her story to Gary's rag. That's why he's here. I promised him a feature if we can limit the damage. He just wants to do a big spread on how your life has completely changed since you've had a baby. You know, all very soft and fluffy.
Well, I'm not going to do that, so...
Well, just think about
okay,
it.
Okay, well, it's
using my son. I'm not going to do it, so...
Well, all right.
Just do it. It's done. It's over. It's just...
I'm not. Look, here are the scripts from... America. They're best of the bunch is HBO. It's an English aid worker who loses his memory and falls in love with his own daughter.
I've read it. It's rubbish. It's just... And it's TV as well.
Well, HBO, they do a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm too young to play someone who falls in love with his daughter, anyway.
You'd have to be a paedophile.
I mean, you've got to try and think two films ahead.
Don't you need two films for that?
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do, isn't it?
I'm going to see Jenny because I've got a. I said. Other scripts. Yes, add those to the rest.
Yeah. Okay, I'll see you at the Rushes.
See you later.
All right, cheers. Yeah. Thanks.
Bye.
A group's gathered in reception.
There was a David Inglesby at the Battle
Steve,
of Lenin.
Steve, this is David Inglesby, our saviour.
Hello.
A genuine 18th century soldier.
72.
Wow, you look good for your age.
Anyway, the point is he's got hundreds of enthusiasts and they're all willing, able, and cheap.
Mm. Well, we'd do it for nothing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, don't tell him that. He'll have you doing it for nothing.
It'd be great to have a photograph with you, though, because I'm a huge fan.
Far away.
Do you want me to take that?
Oh, just point and shoot, please.
Stick.
Steve's just been in, around the world in 80 days.
Any battles?
Well, no, it's not really. So.
It was a Jackie Chan film. Tell
Do you know the best battle scene is in Lancelot de Lac? You know, the Bresson. Yeah, that's right, yeah, the Bresson. It's just these two knights, and they're both encased in armour, and they just keep clobbering each other in it. You know, it goes on forever, you know, just hitting and hitting, and it's actually like a metaphor for life, you know? It's about the impossibility of actually connecting with another human being, because we're all wearing these carapaces, these casing, this rubbish, really. And the more they hit and hit... Actually, the less they impact. It's just really, really moving, actually.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I'll see you later.
OK, see you later.
See you later.
Steve watches Jenny go, then frowns at the group.
What was all that about?
Yeah, she's a bit of a film nut. You should hear her when she's on about Fassbinder.
Fassbinder?
I've got a list of the men that fell. 92 died that morning, so your chap was lucky to be alive. I could fix up your lot with real, accurate names, and then they could shout out their names to each other in the heat of the battle. What do we think?
Thank you very much. That'd be really... That.
Yeah. Have you seen Combat?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Steve's gone.
I thought it was good. I thought Nicole Kidman was a bit old, but I thought it was a good,
no,
good
no,
film.
No, 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 the battle scenes.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, very, yeah, very fantastic. Good. Very.
That explosion, and when he jumps down...
The best one.
Shite. Utter shite from beginning to end. Woefully inaccurate.
Right.
We wouldn't be interested in participating in a pantomime like that.
Rob shakes his head.
Right.
Steve walks into a lavish suite with paintings and a tapestry on the wall. He creeps into the bathroom where Jenny's bathing baby Stephen.
Water. Look at you go.
Oh, oh, God!
He grabs her from behind.
Oh, dear. Will you bath me later?
No, I won't. What do you do with one?
Those are pheromones.
Uh-huh. You put the cart up?
A lot of women find that sexy.
Daddy gonna put your cart up.
Little Stephen waggles his arms and legs. Steve goes and unfolds the cot. Jenny comes in holding the baby wrapped in a white towel.
What's this?
Jenny lays Stephen on the bed.
Pa, it has a calming effect on babies.
My parents never played me bark. They played me, New Seekers. That turned out fine.
He goes to an office.
You like bark, don't you? Yes, it makes you happy.
Jenny?
Yeah?
He looks in a mirror.
Do you think I should have my nose straightened?
She despairs.
Do you think I've got a character actor's nose or a leading man's nose?
I think it's your nose.
I think when the time comes, I'm just going to have a chin tuck and then leave it at that.
Later, he walks in with a towel around his waist.
Shh. He's just nodding off.
They kiss.
No. Don't answer it.
They kiss again, then Steve goes to the door. It's Jenny, his PA.
Hey.
Hi.
Sorry to bother you, but they're screening the rushes now, so just when you're ready.
OK, I'll slip into something more comfortable.
What is it?
I've got to go see the rushes. Sorry, baby.
Do you have to?
Yeah, I won't be long. At least I don't smell anymore. These bottles filthy. Well, they're probably quite expensive. You'd think someone would clean those, wouldn't you?
Hello. Joe. Oh, yeah, yeah.
How are you doing?
Steve hugs Joe. Right.
Good.
How are the kids?
Good.
How many is it now?
Seven.
You've got seven children?
Yeah, seven.
Seriously?
Children. Thank you. Right. Yeah. One for every day of the week. Do you know that there's a Groucho Mark, good Groucho Mark story about, he meets a woman with seven children and says, why have you got seven kids? And she says, because I love my husband. And he says, well, I love my cigar, but I take it out now and again.
Here's Mark. OK, hi, that's it. Great. Have you got the tape?
No.
They sit in rows.
Mark's put together a rough assembly of the battle scenes, and as you all know, we had very little money when we shot it. And we're all agreed that we have the possibility of a very exciting film, but with a slightly small hole in it where the battle should be, which we need to reshoot.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that after we've seen what we've got. OK, Peter, I'll do the lights.
They're sitting in the hotel's wine cellar. The spectacled, grey-haired Simon switches off the lights and the rushes are projected onto a screen. The soldiers are shrouded in smoke from cannon fire.
Mel Gibson's not going to lose any sleep.
The model is more impressive than this.
I am leading literally tens of men.
Is this pole vaulting team, right?
I think all it needs is a bit of a score under it.
Yeah, you're quite right.
Who's the competitor?
Well, we haven't made any decisions about that.
A few soldiers march across a field. A weary-looking Mark rests his head on his hand. The film ends and the lights come on.
That's good. So, well done, everybody, that's where we are now. If anybody wants to say anything.
I think that that scene, because it looks so cheap, it actually makes it funnier. And it works, because it's funny.
Well, it's not supposed to be funny. And Toby's supposed to be funny. The battle is supposed to look like a battle.
You look really, 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 really good in your costumes.
Yeah, yeah, look right. There's a problem with that, too, because some of the costumes are out of period. They're about 50 years out of date.
I think I saw a Roman centurion at one point. You either go for proper full-on Braveheart, clearly that's not an option, or you go for silly man in a comedy battle, which is well within our grasp.
The thing is, we need to reshoot it.
Got to have the battle scene, or I haven't got the whole movie, so.
Oh, no, but wait a minute. I mean, I was reading through some of Joe's old drafts. There never was a battle scene, was it?
No.
But what about the chestnut scene? Do you remember, when you asked us to finance the movie, you acted out a scene where you dropped a hot chestnut down your trousers? I mean, that's why we gave you the money.
A flashback to a meeting.
Well, I thought, yeah.
Yeah, great. Except it's not Walter who does it, is it? I mean, it won't be Steve doing it in the film.
Wait, hang on, Joe.
Are
you serious?
It didn't matter, though, because it was just a...
Fucking hell, I've been practising that for weeks.
In front of a dressing room mirror...
First I tried to keep it small. Then I pushed the idea of him struggling to control the pain. Then I just went for lots of energy.
Clutching his groin, Steve bounces up and down.
That looks too contrived, that.
Do you want to try it with a real hot chestnut?
Try it with a real one.
Yes.
Just experiment, see if the general reaction. Okay. Ah! Fuck! Shit!
He jiggles around hysterically.
Fuck.
Get it out, please, mate. Get it out, please, please. Yeah, you've got your hands on me, fucking knackers. Get off. Get off. Get out your hand out. Jesus, man. Close. Fuck. Ow. Fuck. It's out. Fuck.
Do you want some water?
Fucking hell, man.
Some water.
I'm all right. Fucking hell. Fuck. Yeah. And your fucking fingers on my arsehole.
I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
Fucking hell, huh? You know.
Very sorry.
It's, you know, same for dinner first, you know. Fuck.
Sorry.
Oh. Ooh.
In the wine cellar.
I mean, we've all seen battle scenes before, but how many times have we seen a chestnut?
I think we need more of Uncle Toby. Toby's character is, you know, it's the strongest character, the heart and soul of the piece. It's the funniest character of the book. The battle scene is Toby's scene, so...
That's irrelevant. I mean, the bottom line is, how much will it cost if you want it?
Well, we think we can pull it down for 100,000.
See, I think the audience that will come and see this film is not interested in big action sequences.
Absolutely. No, Anita, this is what we don't have. We don't have the luxury of time, because these guys are out there now, in uniform, loading up the muskets. We just
don't try and hold us to ransom about this. We need to go and think and talk about it.
Should we go home when you take Anita and Greg off and chat about the things you need to chat about?
Hello, Steve.
Go.
There's a shoe issue.
It is an issue of status.
Are you coming with us?
I understand.
The lights out, please.
They watch footage of Steve as Tristram.
So you can hardly see the shoes.
I don't really see what the problem is.
It's important character-wise for to see that height difference in terms of seniority of the characters. Is there anything we can do about
it?
You're right.
Yeah. We can take an inch off Rob's heel and put a thicker sole on Steve's shoe.
You all right with that?
That would be great,
yeah.
Really.
OK.
Fabulous.
We'll
thank you.
Switch it off.
Thank
and, you very much. Get some lights on. Steve, you coming to the meeting?
Yes.
Well, that was brilliant.
Steve, Gary's waiting in the...
Steve,
see you in a bar.
See you later, Adrian. Listen, I've got to talk to this guy. 5 minutes, I'll be up.
OK, whenever.
When I come, I want to talk to you about that. Listen. I'm very sorry about the other night, OK?
It was last night, actually.
Oh, so I was drunk.
So, just so I know, are you sorry because you kissed me, or are you sorry because you were drunk?
Both. Yeah.
They walk into the foyer.
Yeah. Slightly less sorry that I kissed you, but it was very nice. But I don't think it was...
I'll leave you guys to it.
Okay.
All right.
Hey! All right, buddy. How are you doing?
You well?
Yeah, great. Good to see you.
All right, are we good?
I've got to go to a script meeting, uh-huh. And I've got to do the sort of dad, the kind of boyfriend thing
with
Jenny and the baby. So can we postpone this till tomorrow morning?
Gary shakes his head.
I'm not making
up. No, you can. But listen, I've got to be honest with you. Everyone back at the office wants to run the story about the girl.
Yeah.
Right,
yes.
You don't want that because it's just weird
stuff.
It's
not weird. Right? It's just embarrassing.
Well, all right. Yeah, but she's saying some stuff about the... I don't... Anyway, you know...
Well, I want to play ball too,
All right, so you can give me...
Yeah, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
I don't think they're going to go for it.
Man,
have you eaten it?
What do you think's better, the chicken or the beef?
These rooms are fantastic, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm in the Charles I suite. Apparently he stayed in there.
Just before he was beheaded.
Is that true?
Yeah. Do you want a drink, Steve?
I'll have a vodka tonic, please.
Joe, can we please just talk about the script?
Even if we get the battle scene shot, then we're still going to be under.
It's a big book. There's plenty to choose from.
I think I'll have a lamb shank.
Given that the story's about Walter's love for his son... Then I really think that Walter should be there at the birth.
It's the 18th century. Men just didn't do that. You're a 21st century man, but Walter can't be.
He talks to the fucking camera. He can be emotional. If you saw Walter for an instant holding a baby in his arms, then you would forgive him all his flaws and stupidities.
Yeah, but it would look terrible.
It'd be like that scene in Robin Hood where Kevin Costner delivers a baby.
He's got a stupid mullet haircut.
What were all those scenes that you pitched when we first talked about it?
Like the black page. When a good part in Yorick dies, the book has a completely black page.
The screen is black for a moment.
I don't know how interesting a black screen is going to be for an audience.
The original cover for Anarchy in the UK was inspired by that page.
But Yorick isn't even in the film.
He used to be.
Yeah, hardly anybody's in the film. That's the problem.
I like the back page. That's one of the arty bits I actually like.
Why did we want to spend a year of our lives making this film?
Because it's funny.
Is that all?
Is that not enough?
If it's genuinely funny, that is enough. It has to be genuinely funny.
What was all that stuff Patrick told us when we visited Shandy Hall?
In a study...
The theme of Tristram Shandy is a very simple one. Life is chaotic, it's amorphous. No matter how hard you try, you can't actually make it fit any shape. Tristram himself is trying to write his life story, but it escapes him, because life is too full, too rich to be able to be captured by art. And his father, Walter, tries to plan every aspect of Tristram's birth, conception, childhood and so on, and his plans all go wrong. Walter puts it this way.
Did any man ever receive so many lashes?
Pacing in his bedroom, Walter breaks down and throws himself onto the bed.
Walter is indeed the most unfortunate of men, and if his life can be celebrated, then so too can all of ours.
What about Widow Wadman?
I've been pushing for that since the start.
Widow Wadman, that's romantic comedy.
That's bollocks.
Who are you out for, the Widow Wadman? She might be free.
Kate Beckinsale.
That's good. That, see?
Gillian Anderson. Well, we know that she loves the book, and Mark met her in L.A.
Did you, Mark?
You couldn't afford Gillian Anderson. Gillian Anderson would cost more than the whole battle scene.
No, but Gillian Anderson is an American film star.
Oh, I think actually she's Canadian.
We'd make a real movie if we had a real star. Two stars.
I'd never seen myself a star. Yeah. I'm a craftsman, like a medieval craftsman.
With a Porsche.
Plying your trade.
Yeah, I'm a medieval craftsman with a Porsche.
Two stars. I just think that's going to be the review. Tristram Shandy, two stars. Jonathan Ross.
She needs something. We need something for her to
we
read.
We can't get something in time.
Well, I've only written three drafts with the widow in.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've got a bed.
We could do it on.
I've got to see Jenny.
See you later, Steve. Yeah. Bye, Steve.
See you later, Steve.
Bye.
Joe smiles wryly. Steve runs upstairs to his suite.
Jenny?
Steve goes and looks down at little Stephen in his cot. He picks him up.
Oh, dear.
Steve undoes little Stephen's baby grow and his nappy to discover he's filled it. Steve wipes his son's bum.
Oopsie daisy.
He walks around holding him.
My body lies over the ocean. So bring back my bunny to me. Bring back my bunny to me.
Stephen lies in his cot. Steve goes to the lounge.
For ones, yeah, not the ones called polyester, because they're shite. Expensive.
Hello. Thank you. Sorry, just changing the baby's nappy.
We heard it all. It was very lovely.
Bonnie lies.
What do you want musical next?
Beyond moving.
Oh, I see. You've been eavesdropping on me.
Yeah. Okay.
Brilliant idea, mate. The money men are lapping it up.
Gillian Anderson said yes.
Really? Yeah. we only spoke about it 5 minutes ago.
I know, but I phoned her agent in L.A.
Joanna, hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about Tristram Shandy. We're in the middle of filming at the moment. And...
Yes, I know. I read the script. I love it.
Oh, great. Well, I wanted to talk to you about Gillian Anderson.
She's right here.
Oh, hello. Well, Mark's right here.
Hi.
Hi, Gillian. Hi.
Hi,
remember
Mark.
I was telling you about Tristram Shandy?
Oh, I love that novel.
Great.
We've decided to include the Widow Wadman in the story.
Yeah, I love that character.
You know what a great fan I am of yours, so...
Oh, that's so sweet of you.
Obviously, it's a low-budget film.
Oh, don't worry about
that. That's fine.
Gillian's interested in the quality of work. You know, she's not looking for a payday.
Great.
That's right.
Well, we need you to come over right away.
Well, I can fly tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, that was easy.
Yeah, that went well.
Well...
So she's coming over tomorrow.
It's fantastic.
So was Gillian Anderson the one at Baywatch?
That's Pamela Anderson.
We've already got one blonde Burby Bee tits. She's thanks, yeah, but just a bit too much.
I love the experience.
Do you know Ross Butin had a wart on his penis?
We're going to go upstairs. Thank you so much for the champagne. That was lovely.
Good night.
Stop to have a bit of sexual intercourse.
I don't think that that's their baby. I don't think it just seems so unreal, so perfect.
She's very good for him, I tell you. She's very grounding for him, don't you think?
Steve.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. Can I have a very quick word with you?
How long have you been there?
I've just been waiting for you. Sorry, Jenny, just 2 minutes. I just need to talk about something.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Just 2 minutes.
Fine.
Thank you.
Rob takes Steve to his room.
Have you heard the news? They're trying to get Gillian Anderson to play Widow Wadman.
That was my idea.
Was it?
Yeah, but not the Gillian Anderson thing, but the Widow Wadman thing.
You know how I feel about Gillian Anderson? I've got posters of Gillian Anderson. I think the woman's an angel. I've got all of the X-Files on DVD.
I don't understand what the problem is, Rob.
Do you want a drink?
Yes, please. I've vodka tonic. Thanks.
Rob fixes drinks. Steve sits on the bed.
The thing is, I can't act.
I know that.
With Gillian Anderson. I have a proper sexual thing for Gillian Anderson. I covet her. And if I have to do a love scene with her, I will blush.
But Toby would blush. That's good. Channel that. That's method acting.
Yeah, right.
Cheers. There you go. I don't know why you're worried, because you've not got that many scenes with her anyway.
They're putting the whole of the love story in. Steve, you've read the book. It's 100 pages. You have given me a love story with my favourite, my ideal woman, my perfect 10 out of 10 actress. Yeah, and I am going to be stammering and stuttering my whole way through it.
Wait.
Thank you.
Rob hugs Steve.
I've got to go and talk to Jenny.
Oh, listen, Jenny mentioned about the stuff with the, you know, it's not been as good since the baby and everything.
What did she?
All men lose their libido, don't they?
No, they don't. Rob, I don't have a problem with libido. I just don't have the fucking time.
Steve glares at Rob.
For fuck's sake.
Steve walks out.
I have no problem with my libido.
Steve goes to his bedroom. Steve kisses Jenny, who's sitting up in bed with a glass of wine.
What, have you seen my book anywhere?
What book?
Tristram Shandy. Which book do you think? There it is.
He picks it up and goes to a desk.
What are you doing?
He switches on a lamp and flips through the book.
Come here.
Can you believe a book as thick as that hasn't got an index?
It's a novel, not a cookbook.
Widow Wadman.
It's book six.
How do you know that?
And book eight and book nine.
So you knew it would be for Rob, and yet...
What are you talking about?
Rob now has a bigger part than me.
But he hasn't.
He's got a battle scene, and he's got Agent Mulder from...
Scully.
And he's got big heels.
And you've got me. And you've got a baby. And you're playing Tristram Shandy.
Yeah, I am playing Tristram Shandy in the life of Tristram Shandy. And you know what? At the end of the book, he's not even born. Who told me that? No one.
Steve, I have travelled 200 miles by train with a baby just to have sex with you.
OK, this is not about my libido. Presently, I hope I shall be sufficiently understood in telling the reader my Uncle Toby fell in love. Fuck.
She's a wealthy widow. She sees Toby. She falls for him, but she's worried about his equipment.
And he's fallen in love, deeply in love, up to the ears in love.
If it is not intrusive, Captain Shandy, I'm agog as to what actually occurred at the Siege of Namur.
I have a model, just yonder, of the city as it appeared to the besieging forces on that morning in 1695.
You interest me strangely.
The English and the Scots came out of trenches on the right.
I'm quite perspiring with anticipation.
Smiling, she fans herself.
You must know, Captain Shandy, that I have taken an interest in you. But before we go further on that matter, I must reassure myself of your fitness for marriage, of the state of your equipment.
She leans close to him.
Would you like to see my model?
I must know exactly where you were injured.
Madam, I'll show you the exact spot.
Are you sure?
You can put your finger on it. Just beyond the asparagus.
Yes, quite right. Out of the way.
In the vegetable garden.
I'm flattered, Captain Shandy, that you would take me so far into your confidence.
I received my injury at 9 o'clock, right here.
That was great.
Mark comes over.
Thank you.
Whoa, move on.
Rob, this is Steve from the New York Times.
Hey, I'd love to do a piece of it.
And that was a really good job, by the way.
Rob beams at Simon.
You.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was great.
Where's Steve? I really wanted to see that one.
He's over there.
In a miniature womb.
Hello? Rob? Rob?
You hear my laugh?
I heard a laugh.
Steve Coogan. Hi.
Hello. Very pleased to meet you. Sorry about this.
I didn't realise you were so small.
Much smaller than me. Come and see how small he is.
This membrane looks like it's about to burst.
And then there'll be a huge muscular spasm.
Water washes over him.
Oh, my God! Jesus!
The funniest thing he's done for years.
It's disgusting.
I don't know why I'm so small.
He didn't realise he was so small.
I mean, he really is small, isn't he?
He's tiny.
Rob? Rob?
That's his actual size.
Rob, I thought you were a mate!
Steve wakes with a start and lifts himself off the book. Little Stephen wriggles in his cot. Steve glances cagily at Jenny, who's fast asleep in bed, then goes over to the window. In the garden, the soldiers are running around holding bright white flares aloft. Fireworks shoot into the sky. A bright golden starburst explodes. A flare corkscrews up into the darkness. Steve goes for a wander in the garden amongst the cast and crew. Soldiers are sword fighting. A juggler wields flaming boluses. Rob, still in costume, is with Adrian, one of the crew members.
You should go to LA and spend some time there.
I want to meet as many as I can.
Yeah, well, you're going to be hot after this movie, you know. You should...
I just wanted to apologise for the fact that this is a complete historical cocker. And in order to make it a bit more fun, I'm going to give everybody a character name, OK? Yay! So, Eli Thrift. Free Fornication Williams. Pikeman. You got a pike? Well, then you shouldn't be wearing a gorge. You take it off. OK, Ethan Greenwillow. You can have that.
Have you had? They're so chuffed about Gillian Anderson, they're going to give us some money for the battle scene.
That's right. Great. Yeah.
And Joe's had an idea for the belt scene, so you can be there with the baby porn.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that's great. That's
awesome.
See you later, Dan.
Where's your pretty wife, Steve? Come on.
As Steve strolls on through smoke and the bright glow of flares, soldiers with pikes raised charge. He finds his pretty PA Jenny standing alone.
Hello.
So they're going to have the love story and the battle scene. That's great. And it's like some Hollywood version of Tristram Shandy.
Yeah, Fassbender would never have sold out like that.
You like Fassbender? Wow. Which is your favourite film?
He gestures.
The corpus, the body of work.
Fear eats the soul.
Yeah.
There's more truth in that title than there is in most whole movies, you know?
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, he's such, like, a powerful writer. You know, Shatten the Engel. That is my favourite. Do you know that one?
Is that the one with all the sex in it?
No, it's where, in Brookhaven, there's this prostitute, right? But the thing is that she's so beautiful that she doesn't even need to, like, touch the punters. They're just happy to, like, sit in a room and just look at her. But the thing is that humanity is so disgusting that they kind of, like, invade and pollute her with their problems and their insecurities, so that in the end, it's actually better for her to just fuck them
You know, it's cleaner for her to fuck them than it is to listen to them. So you're watching the movie and you're just like, just fuck them, Lily. Yeah. Just fuck them. Do you know what I mean?
Fuck them.
She pulls him towards her and kisses him hungrily.
Feeling with your babies?
They embrace passionately. Steve closes his eyes, caught up in the moment. Then he pulls away.
What did you just say then? What did you just say then?
I don't know. I think I said fuck me. I think.
No, you said something else. It's not what you said.
That's what I meant.
Listen, you are fantastically attractive, and your knowledge of German cinema is second to none. But I gotta get back to Jenny. I got work in the morning, so they start. I'm gonna get to the bed.
6:30 a.m. Cool, eh?
Yeah. So. Oh. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Rob.
I'm Spartacus. Huzzah!
Rob, Inglesby, and the soldiers charge across the lawn.
Spartacus! I am Spartacus!
Jenny!
I am Spartacus.
Rob takes Jenny's hand and runs off with her.
I am Spartacus!
I am Spartacus! I am Spartacus!
With an anxious look in his eyes, Steve returns to his room. He undresses and gets into bed with Jenny, who's fast asleep. He snuggles up close to her and delicately kisses her cheek. She wakes and turns to look at him.
Where have you been? You're freezing.
She holds him.
I had a nightmare.
Jenny smiles and kisses Steve. They delicately press their lips together over and over. Steve strokes Jenny's neck. Lying side by side, they continue to kiss, holding each other close and caressing each other tenderly. A pale yellow moon hangs in a light grey sky. Several tents are pitched in the grounds of the hotel. On the horizon, a golden sun rises. On the lake, soldiers are sleeping in rowing boats. A single flare burns on the bridge. Jenny and Steve are lying asleep in bed.
Steve, it's time to get up.
With a towel around his waist, Steve opens the door to PA Jenny, who eyes him coldly.
Morning. Your car will be ready in half an hour, OK?
Right. Thanks, Jenny.
As the door slams, Jenny, sitting up in bed, winces.
Sorry.
We'll be okay for a couple of minutes.
She smiles and pats the bed. Steve gets back in and hugs and kisses her.
Oh, God, you're so lucky.
Steve drives to Shandy Hall with Jenny, his PA.
This morning's headlines. The Americans have conceded that insurgents in Iraq are as strong now as they were a year ago. More foreign terror suspects are expected to be freed on bail today as time runs out for the existing powers under which they are detained. And what Churchill thought of India and what India thought of Churchill. Today's newsreader, Charlotte Green.
A senior American general has said the insurgents in Iraq have lost none of their capacity to launch attacks on the coalition and...
In the wardrobe department...
Morning.
Hi. Rob, did you want me to get you some breakfast? Some coffee.
Okay, sure.
The caterer's here.
Yeah, they are, actually. Do you want me to get you some breakfast, actually, Dylan?
No, I'll go with you. I've been here for
ages.
Cool. Top of the morning, you, Dylan.
Quite big, but once I get the other socks on.
Jenny goes with Dylan.
Yes.
Morning,
Rob.
That's it. Mm-hmm. All done.
It's the shoe business, you know. Goes on all day between Steve and Rob.
Steve, I've got the shoes for you. They've been built up, so you'll feel a lot taller in those.
It'd be hard, didn't she, Jenny? She's a bit intense.
Very. Mm. Hard work. You know, this shoe thing, I think we're fine as we are.
I spent all night working on these.
So we've got spare ones.
Sorry, love. We've got spare ones. Yeah, we've got spare ones, so...
OK.
Sorry, love. Thank you.
Steve forces a smile. Debbie comes over.
Steve.
Well handled.
This is the coat, Steve. You know, for the scene where you take your wig off.
Oh, yeah.
Can you just try it on for me?
Sure.
Like that?
that.
I'm going to take your wig off so, with the right hand and pull a handkerchief out of the right hand pocket with the left hand.
It's like I'm chasing. Anyway, it's like. See, I mean, that's.
You look like Lee Evans.
It looks like the pockets are too low. It looks like they've been placed there for comic effects. You know what I mean? So it looks like it would
in the latter end of Queen Anne's reign, and in the beginning of King George I, coat pockets were cut very low down in the skirt. Mm.
The pockets can be both technically accurate and still look contrived.
It's historical, but it's not hysterical.
Yeah.
Steve meets Joe and Simon in a corridor.
Hey, Joe!
Hello, Steve. Listen, I'll see you tomorrow.
There you go.
I'm going to get the kids to see the battle.
Brilliant. How did the pages go?
All done, dusted, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Try to get the impact of having a baby on water. The physical and emotional impact.
Yes!
You all right?
Yes, very well.
Now, listen, we've really got to get a shift on, mate. I need to do something.
Okay.
I need to get a train, so can we just find somewhere a little...
We'll do it now. I've got only 5 minutes to go, so just...
Ten, fifteen minutes.
It's not my bad.
Just tell him not to worry.
I just want to do a really general piece. Yeah, you know the type of thing. I'm sure you've done before. Steve Coogan, the actor, Steve Coogan, the family man, and with the novel being called The Life and Opinions of Tristram Shandy, I thought we'd call the piece The Life and Opinions of Steve Coogan.
Great, that's
yeah.
good.
Just a sort of tidy. Yeah, great. Exactly. But really, they obviously just become a father. Yeah, so let's do a bit about the family to start off with. And what does it mean to you?
It's everything to me.
Steve goes up to see Jenny.
Hi, babe.
Hiya.
She's holding baby Stephen.
How is he?
He's a bit grumpy this morning. Sorry.
Mark appears.
Oh. Hi, Steve. You've got your other baby next door, if you'd like to come and say hello. Do a bit of bonding.
I'm not told you about the other baby. I'll explain that.
Won't take a minute.
Okay.
See you later.
I've got the new sides from Joe for the scene as well.
Oh, yeah, he spoke to me this morning.
He's very pleased with it.
Yeah, great, I'm pleased.
And this is Rachel.
Hey.
And little Tristram.
Oh.
I'll catch you later.
Okay, all right. Well, he's got a better hairline than me.
She's a girl, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Hope that's not too much for public.
Yeah, no, I'm very in touch with my female side.
Is everyone mic'd up?
Yeah, with the time we need.
Okay, all right.
Ed?
Yeah?
So...
Let's get it all locked up.
Yeah, okay. Byron, can we just get this moving now, thanks? Cheers.
She likes you. She's very happy.
Hey. She's so small.
Steve holds the baby.
Steve?
Yeah?
They're ready for you, Dad.
Oh, but Tommy. Okay. I've got to just go say goodbye to Jenny. I'll say goodbye.
The cast go into the bedroom.
3 days in a row, you've been screaming.
It's only one more day.
We finish this today.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
You know what I mean? Just
happened in the last thing.
Can we get Steven?
Thank you.
Joe has written into this part of the scene where Walter's there at the birth of Tristram, and it's really important.
It's fine. Steve, they're waiting for you on set.
Okay, all right. Listen, have a safe journey, and I'll see you at the weekend.
Okay.
And would you have had a baby with me if I really had a nose like that?
Yeah. I'll give you a call and get there.
Okay, I love you.
Steve goes to kiss Rob, then stops himself.
It doesn't seem right.
No, it's wrong. Okay. Sorry about that.
Steve sighs as he follows his sullen-looking PA.
Keely, if you could get you in position. Possible?
I'm just a bit confused. Are we supposed to just...
It's not continuous. We've jumped in time. We're going to take that moment where the kid's about to be born from here.
So we've done the very end of it.
Okay.
Right.
Mark.
Just
Hi. All right.
Mark takes Steve out to the corridor. Steve's fitted with a wig that curls up at the sides.
Hold the work. So, Steve.
Yeah?
We'll have about 40 seconds of effort for your entrance, okay?
Actress Keeley Hawes, playing Elizabeth, lies on the bed in a white gown. She screws up her face in agony as Dr. Slop, played by Dylan Moran, reaches between her legs with his massive forceps.
See what's happening.
Dr. Slop stares at the emerging head. Jenny, on a walkie-talkie, leans to Steve as Walter.
Thank you, Steve.
Walter walks into the room as Dr. Slop pulls the baby out.
Little more, Mum. Little more. That's it.
Walter peers at the bloody baby, then keels over.
That's it.
Slop draws the baby out.
He's handsome, man. He's a handsome boy.
With a bruised nose.
He's a big boy.
Walter's out cold. His face appears on a screen in a small cinema where the cast and crew are sitting. The screen goes white with a caption, Reel 6, the end. The lights go on and Simon stands.
Thanks very much, everybody.
There's a drink through there, so... Just like to go on through.
What happened?
Are you
right.
Well, what do you think about that?
Can you tell that's not me on the horse?
Yes.
Do you ride a horse?
Yes, I rode a horse.
You look like you'd never been on a horse before.
Thanks.
You were funny, you were charismatic. You looked so dashing.
I looked so dashing.
You did.
I was dashing.
You completely... What happened to the whole Widow Welcome story?
How much did you do?
That's not, like, too
late. I mean, the house is way too big for Shandy Hall. But well, that's what they wanted to make the film look sexy.
I thought you were fantastic, by the way.
And you?
For what it's worth.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. See you in a bit.
Great, just great.
Oh, yes, that's great. Thank you, yes, rather good. I thought we were going to get the big emotional scene with Walter and his baby.
Yeah, well, the 18th century, it didn't work.
And we thought the scene with Steve and the baby playing... Young Tristan would give us the emotion and still be true to the original story.
I always forget how short I am. I can't believe that was a whole fucking movie.
Yeah. I think we look like a nice couple, don't you?
Where is the battle?
Yeah, where's the battle?
Yeah. It wasn't funny.
So how many drinks do you have a day?
I have, I don't know, a number.
And I purposely have a pay-as-you-go, and I only keep £10 on it so that I can't stay on the phone long, so that I'm always just quickly off.
How does the book end? The
book's got a great ending.
At dinner.
Tell me, Parson Yorick. Why are we so delicate about the subject of passion? Why do we put a candle out when we try to make a child?
I'm not sure. Everyone does put out a candle, Sir Walter.
There you see, Walter. Not everybody does put the candle out. I have on occasion asked for the candle to be left, but...
Be that as it may, why do we glorify the act of killing, the act of destroying a man? We honour the weapons with which we do it.
We
write do. About them. We paint them.
Overdose. Oh, good evening, Parson Yorick.
Has that,
that cow of yours carved yet?
Well, that's just it. My cow is not calved yet.
A field of cows.
Wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife, to live together after...
It so happened that Obadiah was married on the same day my father's bull was introduced to his cow.
He mounts her.
Now, the custom was that my father's bull served all the cows in the parish. But the truth was, the parish was so large, my father's bull was not equal to the task.
He dismounts.
But as he went about his business, with a grave face... My father regarded him very highly.
In church.
When the baby was born, Obadiah hopes the cow would calf. She didn't.
Shed out his most precious side, both water and blood.
May not a cow be barren?
Never happen.
My bull is as good a one as ever pissed. If you attack his character, you attack his life.
Good Lord, what is this story all about?
Cock and a bull story. Cock. And a...
He gestures.
Bull. Cock and bull tail. Cock and bull
story. Cock and bull.
Cock and bull.
Oh, brother.
Sorry.
Walter scowls and chucks food at Toby.
And the best of its kind I ever heard.
A black iris closes around the picture. The end. ITFC audio description was written by Matthew Vickers and read by Alan Blake.